And you know I can't be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Now that's some old school shit.
That's very old school shit. That's very old school, man.
He's classic.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, man. Good to meet you finally.
Good to meet you too, man. Yeah, big fan of the show.
Thanks,
man. What you doing, man? This is awesome.
Stay close to the door. Bring the arm. Just bring it with you. I know it's kind of weird.
Perfect.
You're having a conversation. You got to have a microphone, right? But today's time with all the digital, we're always being recorded. Video, audio.
Name of the game. Everything's being recorded, right?
I don't
give a shit. No privacy anymore. Look it up in the Diddy.
I said, I don't think it's Diddy. I think it's what Diddy happened to other people.
If that's true. What he allegedly did?
I read somewhere that his lawyer left the case.
Yeah, of course. Recently. That's how you know you're fucking guilty, man. Come on.
You're guilty.
It's
just a matter your lawyer of like, what's going to be the sentence? Is there going to be a period or an exclamation mark after that sentence? Something's going on. There's some funny times going on, man.
Oh yeah.
And we all just here on the job site just trying to make a living.
That's all we're trying to do. Make a living, make a change, you know what I mean? And just feed our families pretty much.
Right? How young are you?
I'm 33.
You've been in the business how long?
15 years, right out of high school.
Right into tile?
Right into tile.
Why never tile?
To be honest with you, it was the first trade I just ended up going with, and I stuck with it.
Anybody in the family doing tile before you?
Not one person in my immediate family.
So why tile?
Why tile? It was only the guy at the time that was taking co-op students. I had options. Like, I could have been there was like mechanic and, you know, electrical, this, that, whatever. And then one guy said, hey, man, I do tiles. I'm willing to take you on full time if you want to come with me. He needed a laborer, and I've stuck with it ever since. Never left.
Did 15 years ago?
15 years ago, man.
And the industry's changed a lot.
So hold on a minute. 15.
15 or more?
When are you in grade 9? How old are you? 16?
Grade 9, you're 15, 16.
15, 16. So 33, quick math. Yeah, about 15.
Unless you're really smart, then you're about 18 or 19.
Yeah.
At grade 9.
That's good, man.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. How do you pronounce the last name?
Pekia.
Michael Pekia. But Mike?
Michael, doesn't matter.
All right, so MP Tiles is here. You can reach him at msptiles@gmail.com. His phone number is 289-380-2164. You can check him out on IG under MP Tiles and see all the details there. We got a lot to talk about regarding tiles. Let me do a quick shout out to Royal Door. I'm wearing their polo shirt. I'm not a huge fan of polo shirts because I'd look like an old man at that point when you're wearing a polo shirt. But here we are. I'm wearing a polo shirt. So thank you so much. I appreciate it, Rosemary, for the shirt. I want to do a little comment here about episode 311. I can't even remember what show that would have been or whatever, but it had something to do with fireplaces, I think, because Ron Wilkoff on YouTube, he was saying, great episode, so good to see masonry being discussed in this casual yet educational setting. Great information for such a niche trade, and it needs to be promoted. A couple of clarifications from the podcast. Painting brick with acrylic or latex-based paint is definitely not recommended. However, the use of mineral paints known as masonry tinting is an industry-accepted practice for changing the aesthetic, but maintaining the durability and breathability of the brick, masonry fireplaces do not need to be built with a WETT certified wet certified masons. Anyone can do that. So he was just giving me a heads up on that. I know about the staining. I'm not a fan of it because I'm still, the brick is the brick and the brick ages and you shouldn't stain it. I know designers love coming in and stain it. I know old school unaware Europeans will paint it. We've all seen it. They've painted the face of the brick. They painted the mortar joints. It just kills the brick over time because you're not letting it breathe. And that's why it kills it. So I'm not a fan of it, but I appreciate Ron so much for the information you're sharing. And that's that. So now, Mike, did you start in Scratch Coat? You didn't start in Scratch Coat.
I started in Scratch Coat.
You started in Scratch Coat 15 years ago?
15 years
ago. I started in Scratch. Like, I didn't, for the very first job, paying job, I didn't do Scratch Coat. I started in Schluter. I knew of Scratch Coat. But I dismiss Scratch Coat.
Wow.
It didn't make sense to me. I questioned it. And that's how I discovered Schluter, and I started.
I thought it came out way later, to be honest. Well, I don't know. Maybe just because the guy that I was so old school.
It's old. It's old. Yeah. It's like almost exclusive to Toronto. Like old school guys were just doing Scratch Coat. Now listen, Scratch Coat with a dry pack 1 inch thick will work.
Oh yeah.
And last a long time.
And we still do dry pack to this day on certain things, which is awesome.
But no client wants anything that's 1 inch thick on the floor. No. That's the problem. And you can't go down, so you're only going up. That's then you're adding the new material, which is generally speaking, if you're going larger tile, 3/8 to 1/2 inch thick, plus your mortar bed. Now you start getting really up there, and now you got a ramp between your hallway or whatever it is. So that's why when I started researching and I came across uncoupling membranes, and it was at the time it was Schluter, I was like, this makes, like, this is the best. This would make sense to me, right?
Oh yeah. And I think it's more effective to just use in general. I mean, scratch coat works. There's nothing wrong with the old school way. If people still use it, that's awesome. But, you know, as a matter of fact, I see for, like, if you put Schluter down, for example, it's great. It's nice to level the floor. It's just a lot easier. You avoid scratching doors with, you know, like all the, with the scratch coat. You got to be careful.
Bringing the chicken wire in.
Yeah. You're bringing the chicken wire where you're going to get a ding here and there, and people come around with the magnifying glass and see everything, right? And it's like, come on, relax, right? But as far as that, like when you rip out the old stuff with the scratch coat, it's a lot easier than the Schluter.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my God, that's the worst part, right? It's great to use, but when you got to remove it, it's fuck, what a bitch.
I've never demoed.
No way.
Schluter.
Yeah, well.
Because you, the felt is still there, right? So you, how do you remove, you got to chip it. You got to break it off.
You got to break it off and just, you got to, like with the scratch, it rips up with it, right? The wire rips up with it and it's just a little bit of dust.
Yeah, and you pull out the staples or whatever and you're done. Or you hammer in the staples and you're done.
That's right.
Schluter, that felt is stained. The thin set is stained. Yep. It's absorbed into the substrate. You know, all of a sudden, it's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass, and it takes three times the amount of time to do so. You're scraping it, you're chiseling it, doing whatever. Just a pain in the ass. Great to put down, not fun to take up.
You're a fan of, okay, you started in a scratch coat, but what are you a fan of today?
The Schluter.
Schluter?
The Schluter.
Even the shower, the trays, the foam, and everything, you still dry pack?
I still dry pack. I don't know what it is.
I prefer dry pack, too.
So do I. I think it's more of a solid base, because it's foam. You know what I mean? The Schluter, I'm not, they're saying it's effective. I don't know, like, what, I get it, but me, just the dry pack, I've never had a problem with it. You waterproof it. The plumbers put their membrane down underneath. You dry pack on top. You waterproof the walls. You waterproof over the dry pack.
What I used to do was I still dry pack because I would prefer it for the same reasons, right? And then when you started using the foam, you're working on it. You have to put a sheet of ply over it. Otherwise, all the dimples are going to start coming in.
Agreed.
And then all of a sudden, now you have to skim all the foam to just get a level surface. So you're doing all this extra work. So I would always prefer dry pack and then curdy the dry pack.
Yeah.
I'd put the waterproof on top of the dry pack instead of doing the rubber membrane with the weeping holes. And because that didn't make sense to me either, because you're saturating the dry pack in the event that it gets water behind the tile and then it has a way to get out there. I'd rather not put any water underneath there. So that's why I always waterproofing on top of it.
Agreed. That's a good way to do it too, actually. That's a really good way to do it.
Then you introduced the heated floor system now too? I was putting heated cables into showers way before you were allowed to, and Schluter was telling me don't do that.
Okay.
And I'm like, don't tell anybody you did that. Yeah. And I was like, I did a bunch of things that I wasn't supposed to do. I never had failures.
No. I don't think there's so many different rules on how you should do things, whatever. Listen, if it worked back then, you never had a problem with it.
Then it worked.
Can it? It works.
Leave it at that. You know what I
mean? Leave it at that. Yeah, sure, there's different ways to do things, right? As you go along, what's more effective and stuff like that. But if you never had a problem with it before and it's never caused any damage and it still works, it's heated, it's heated. Your feet warm? Who cares? Listen,
everybody. Like, I did my own bathroom long, long time ago. And I regret there's two little areas that I didn't put the heat on.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you have that one little extra step just to kind of get to reach something, there's no heat there. And it bugs the hell out of me that there's no heat there, because you can clearly feel the difference between a floor that's 95 degrees versus a floor that's in regular room temp in winter months is probably 60, 65 degrees. And for all the Americans there, we're talking about Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's a huge difference that when you're stepping on barefoot, from 95 to 65. So moving forward, if I ever do another project, I'm putting heat everywhere.
Yeah.
Walls, I don't care. I don't care about the rules about the ESA. I don't care about any of that.
Yeah, it could get annoying for sure. It goes from nice and hot to cold, and you know, it could definitely, right?
But everybody, all clients are asking for heated, no?
Heated floor, I guess it's just an easier process using the Schluter.
But everybody's got a product out now.
Everybody's got a product out. I know it's not just the Schluter, but
do you trust the competitors? Do you trust
Sometimes. I mean, to me, it's all the... I wouldn't say it's all the same, but majority of it's the same. You know what I mean? I just prefer Schluter because it's a well-known brand and it's a very effective for a lot of people. You know what I mean? But, I mean, Dietra's Dietra. Does the same shit. Doesn't matter what brand, this, that, whatever. I wouldn't say.
You remember the early days when they first introduced Dietra and it was a partnership with New Heat? So their cable was coming from New Heat.
Okay.
So whenever you went to a trade show, you would have a booth and it was always a nice marriage of Schluter and New Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Because Schluter had their coupling membranes, they had their Curdy that they were introducing, and then they introduced the Dietra Heat, and then they needed a cable. So they went to New Heat, so they were using their cable. Which made sense, right? So mm-hmm. I preferred New Heat thermostat, which was a double gang thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
It looked nicer than all the god-awful looking ones that are today. I don't like those single, I don't like any of them.
Right.
They stand out too much from my eyes. I think that they should be integrated a little bit differently. I think they should be hidden inside cabinetry or something like that. So you need to go to that thing twice a year.
Wow.
To turn it on and to turn it off. That's all it is. Everything's all Wi-Fi enabled. So I don't need to see it in the application. But the moment that Schluter started creating their own cable, knew he was out the door.
Yeah.
There goes that marriage, right? It became a divorce. And then all of a sudden, the competition started introducing their own cable. And they were going to either New Heat or I know there's a partnership between Mapei and New Heat now.
Yeah.
So, yep. But it's not New Heat now. It's called Envy.
Sorry.
Envy or Invent? No. I can't remember. There's something.
I can't remember either.
So, yeah. So it's just funny. And then you get Schluter saying, we won't warranty your install if you use someone else's cable. We have to use our cable. Right. But you guys were fine with warranting New Heat's cable when you guys were first getting started. Now you're not fine with it? And I've never met a tile
so many different rules
that relied on the warranty, right?
Right.
It's the work.
It's the work.
It's your work.
Mm-hmm.
Your warranty is your work.
Absolutely.
And if it fails, which it doesn't, you come back and you'll take care of whatever it's going to take care of.
Right. Which is years down the road, if anything. You know what I mean? Well, it depends how good of a tile setter you are, right? I guess.
What age did you go on your own after you got started with the apprentice and then?
I was 25 when I went on my own.
So you were there for a little while.
I was there for a little while.
And learned a bunch of stuff?
Learned a bunch of stuff. I'm starting off small, backsplashes, this, that, whatever. You know what I mean? And then I went back because I wasn't busy enough because I was just starting out. I went to work for the union. We were building houses up in Bradford. Right? I just was a laborer
track,
there.
Low rise?
Residential.
But high rise,
low rise. Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. Fast. Learned a lot of things. You know, you meet different trades. You meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of guys on the site. It was fun, man. I loved it. I didn't like the aspect of I can't take orders. So eventually, That's why I went on my own. You know what I mean? There's a lot of. How do I say this?
Like, what kind of orders?
Oh, they were all old school Italian. Move, go. You God forbid you take a cigarette, whatever. Five extra minutes. Hey, get back to work. Let's go. I said, you know what? Get the fuck out of here, man. I'm not going to do this.
But you're being paid by the piece, right?
I'm getting paid by the hour, but God forbid, like, you're working, you're going, but there's no, like, leeway. Like, God forbid something's just off a little bit and they freak the fuck out and you got to report to this person, and people are getting jealous or you're getting more work and this, that, whatever. It's just a big war on the job site, I would say. Yeah, when it comes to labors and stuff.
But what's the, like, do they honestly believe the work goes faster if you yell?
Yes, they do.
It doesn't, though.
It doesn't. I don't agree with it whatsoever.
It doesn't go faster.
No. Well, sure. I think they think it's going to go faster so the big guy can get paid. But at the end of the day, you rush anything. Yeah, I understand a process to do it properly and get things done on time. I agree with that. But just to rush and go, and like I see that you're making so many mistakes along the way of doing that. I don't agree with that whatsoever.
Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I'm trying to go through the DeLorean and going back in time, right? Like 10, 15 years ago, there wouldn't be conversations about mitering. Wouldn't be conversations about niches, let alone niches across the whole length of a shower or mm-hmm. tub application. There wouldn't be any conversations about lighting niches. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be any conversations about linear drains. Mm-hmm. Right? Like nowadays, what are we not doing in bathrooms and tile work and all kinds of shit? Like we're doing everything now.
Everything.
But like I've said on other shows, clients are expecting you to be tile installer, stone fabricator, material handler regarding slabs, porcelain slabs now, mm-hmm. and you take the responsibility if they break, crack on shipment,
yep.
and then you have to install them in a way that looks seamless, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, like, this is insane, but you're expecting the price point of a tile installer, not a stone fabricator.
Right.
We all go to the stone fabricators. We know exactly what their rates are.
Absolutely.
What they charge.
But the minute we charge...
What's the cost of the slab? Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to pay for the fabrication and the install of it. Mm-hmm. So you spending $5,000, $10,000 on a slab, that's what you're going to pay.
Absolutely.
But they won't pay that for on-site tile install.
Nope.
They'll pay a fraction of that.
They'll pay a fraction of that. They don't, I get it when customers don't understand fully the process, you know what I mean? And you try your best to try to explain it to them, right? A lot of people, a lot of people like to give up quick, like, oh, okay, he's already cheap, this, that, whatever. You got to educate your customer. I believe in educating your customer. Like, this is what it takes. You know what I mean? This is what you have to do as far as fabrication. This is what it's going to cost. Point. So they have to be educated in a way so they understand. And not only that, they get the trust from you too, that you know yep. what you're talking about. Right. Yeah. So I agree with that.
You prefer working for a client that's older, old school, that doesn't really know a lot about all the new materials today, or a younger client that pretends to know what the fuck they're talking about regarding all the new stuff today?
Oh, that's a good question.
Which one's the lesser of the two evils? I'd probably go with the old school guy.
I would go with the old school guy. There's more reasoning.
Yeah.
Depending.
No, there. I'd agree with
depending.
You.
Depending.
I agree.
Right? You get the old school guy that thinks he knows everything. He's never picked up a tool in
but
his life.
But if he sees you and he sees you, you're working well, you're keeping clean, you're organized, you're mm-hmm. going to get respect from that person.
Absolutely.
Versus the young school person is just going to keep on bringing up an iPad to you and just showing you a YouTube video or something like that. Isn't this how it's supposed to be? And I'm like, what's the cost of an iPad? Because I'm going to crack it over your head right now, right?
Exactly.
That's basically that's where that conversation is going
to be.
I totally go the old school, man. The
older. You know what? You're right. It definitely, the old school would probably be a better route for that aspect. Yes, I get a lot of younger people as well that show me a lot of stuff on Pinterest and Google. And they think that, oh, this is what it's not that easy. And it's like, oh, why is it this much more expensive? Because you found it on Google. You don't know what's involved. We could do it. But
are you in your business, Mike? Are you responsible for getting the material? Or are you just responsible for installing the material?
Sometimes it depends
on the job.
Depends on the job. Usually I like to include all the, you know, the cement, the grout and everything. And sometimes I supply the tile as well, but because it's such an art form, right? I think it's better for the clients to go to different suppliers, see different prices and see what kind of outlook they would like because it's an art form. I think it's just easier that way. You grab the tile, I grab all the other material. Some clients, there's very few of them that say, I give them a couple samples. Like I give them books, this, that, whatever, but they'd rather see it. And you can't bring all these samples.
There's
different tiles and different designs. It's easier
for them to go there.
Exactly. Just go there, take a look at it, see what you like, especially wifey. I mean, you know what I mean? The wives, oh my God, the kitchens. That's all about the kitchens and the washrooms, which it comes to us, right? So it's like, you know what? Take the wife, pick what you want to do. Don't fight. Pick what you want and we're going to install it.
But you know what? Like, Mike, you know what's sad? I think they're not basing their selection choices off of what they love. They're basing it off of what their friends are going to be envious of.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And for how long that envy is going to be in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's your home.
Right.
It's your room.
Yep.
It's your bathroom that you go in every single morning to bathe and get ready for the day. Your friends have nothing to do with this. Your family has nothing to do with this.
Right.
Why don't you just make a selection based on what you want?
Agreed. Yeah.
But they do that. They totally go online and they're like, I wonder if so-and-so is going to be envious of this. Mm-hmm. I really want to dig it into her or him or whatever.
Why I'm are like, people like that, man? I don't understand. Because
they're stupid. Human beings are the worst species on this planet for that shit, true, man.
I don't understand why can't people just. It's
people don't select for the purpose of what they want for that room.
Mm-hmm.
They select for annoying the shit out of people on social media.
Yeah. You see it mostly. You know what? I see it a lot with landscapers as well. And in old neighborhoods, wherever they're doing, look at this. I want to do it too. I want to. Everybody's trying to top people. Yeah. And you're right. Who gives a fuck?
It's your
house.
I don't give a shit.
Your tile. If they don't like it, who the fuck are you?
Listen, I don't. There's some fucked up houses in Toronto. Like, there's there's a house in the East End that has a bunch of glued toys and all, like every possible toy on the front yard. Like, it's just horrific looking. I wouldn't want to be next to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an individual personality. I wouldn't want to live anywhere near that. Everyone does a double take when you're looking at this yard. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the interior stuff, it's your dwelling, man. It's your room. Figure out what you want in that room. Figure out first. You're right, though. You said it. It's all about the kitchens and the bathrooms. That's all it is. And they don't want to make a decision on a tile that makes sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make the decision based on how they can be top dog on social media.
Absolutely.
Which is bullshit. That's why you see all this white.
Oh my God.
Porcelain white on top of white on top of white. Then they might get, what do they do for an accent? Maybe a mosaic floor in the shower.
Maybe mostly. Yeah. Mosaic.
Yeah, but these days, most
in the niche too, they put the niche. Yeah. Yeah. Just as that offset.
You know what I mean? Crazy. Let's envelope
the floor. Envelope. Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do a little envelope.
Mm-hmm. I love doing the envelope. I think it's cool.
Like, I think it's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, the way then that came around, it's cool. The way they put that together, but again, it's nice.
You're a fabricator on site.
Yeah.
Are you being paid to be fabricator on site?
Yeah, if you're smart enough to price the right price, right?
But they'll still argue with that price because they don't go and realize until they get to the kitchen portion, because for the most part, they'll get a slab, right?
Right.
And so then they'll start really educating themselves at that point how much that slab fabrication is going to be.
Mm-hmm. You mean for the slab for the backsplash? You
no,
mean
the slab for slab? The, well, it could be the slab for the countertop, slab for the backsplash. Oh,
yeah,
the
countertop and the backsplash to put quartz too, all the quartz work. That's
pure fabrication out of stone. That's
expensive stuff.
And it's expensive.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I think how do I put this in a better perspective? Anything as a finishing product, if I could say anything about
house.
For as a finishing product, get what you want, but there's also another side to it too. A lot of people are investing in real estate. Okay, eventually, if I want to sell the house down the road, what's going to be still updated? If this is your forever home, pick your choice and what you want and what you're going to live with. At the end of the day, down the road, you're going to always re-renovate if you're there for 20 years. Majority
of clients don't think forever home.
They don't think forever home. And I get that. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, if they, and then they want the opinion, what's modern, what's this, that, whatever. And then as you give them the opinions of, and your choices of what you see in, like, you know, a new modern homes and stuff like that, what's really standing out there as far as the art form of it, right? And this will last. And yeah, eventually, if you want to sell, the clients will look at it. Because I believe when anybody walks into a new house, right? Let's say you're buying a house. The first thing I want to see, what the wife wants to see, is the kitchen. How disgusting is the kitchen?
Of course.
How disgusting is my bathroom?
Whether it needs to be renovated or not.
Or not. That's the first thing they take a look at. Yeah. So you might want to modernize those aspects of the houses first.
But nothing's worse than if you've got kids, and most homes nowadays, whether it's new construction, they have en-suites.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, we grew up with one bathroom for five kids. We all shared, right?
Yeah.
There was wood paneling in the hallway, and there was barely 6x6 ceramic tile in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we grew up on, right? I get it. Nowadays, kids have all their en-suites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's worse in my eyes, pristine white kids' bathroom.
Yep.
I'm like...
Everywhere.
Your kid is going to have no creative bone in their body when you should be thinking about something. There's got to be color. There's got to be some excitement. There's got to be some interest. There's got to be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'll let them grow if they're young or if they're going to be a tween or if they're in their teenagers. Come up with color that will actually let them grow with it.
Right.
White doesn't fucking do that, man.
I think that's an old school European thing too. The Italians, the Greeks, everything's white with gray vein. You know what I mean? I get it all the time. There's a lot of, it's very.
For the kids?
For the kids, I don't think it's a great idea.
For the adults, yeah.
For the adults, yeah, I get it.
But even that I find boring.
So boring, man. It's just you see the same shit all the time. And even me just being a setter. You know what I mean? Like to try different things, different colors, different style of tile,
you
different
sizes. You did that green shower.
I did that green shower.
That gorgeous fucking 3x6 on a vertical green glazed ceramic.
Very different.
Beautiful.
Very different. You don't see that very often.
That was a gorgeous green, man.
Yep. And that's more of like the old fashioned style. And I think it's funny how trends work. It's coming back.
Yeah.
It's just like even with anything in general, clothing, this, that, whatever, trends of construction, this, that, whatever, from back then. I think it's just coming back slowly. So that old school kind of look is coming back into style as well. I love it. Myself,
I like this tile here I got from Nuno, right? From Portugal there.
Oh, yeah.
Like that blue is nice.
Very nice tile.
That blue is nice, man, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a way to work that tile. That's a handmade tile. Like, that's, like, listen, I like white if mm-hmm. it's needed to be white,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you have, but I don't know what room is needed to be white, all white. Yeah. It looks very medicinal, right?
Yeah.
It looks like you might as well just be like, have a pager, you know, paging Dr. So-and-so, paging Dr. So-and-so. Like, it's just, it's not very inviting, right?
No. Not to mention, you get up in the morning, you're all like this. Next, you turn that light on, bam. Right?
It's too bright. It's too
annoying. You want a little bit of a dim, I would say. Anyway, that's just me, right? Everybody has their own opinions. But yeah, I think it's too much.
Yeah, but see, now you as a tile installer, you're dealing with electrical because the heated floors.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with electrical for the accent lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with all kinds of new toilet like or plumbing accessories now.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff now going on.
Too much new shit.
Way too much shit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, cool when it all comes together and how you can,
you know. And then you got to work with the other trades to figure out where it's going to go. Then sometimes you have to come up with access panels that work in the tile conjunction. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you guys aren't just laying tile anymore, man.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot of different things into aspect, and you got to wait. Me personally, I don't do the, a lot of setters do the, like, for example, the heated flooring. They lay that stuff themselves. I personally don't, because if one wire goes wrong, I'm not an electrician.
You're not taking the responsibility.
But you got to wait for these guys and work with them. Okay, and they need this day to do this, that, whatever, which is fine. I get it. Clean up your shit, fucking electricians. But yeah. You know what I mean? Clean your fucking shit. My brother's an electrician. Fuck you too.
But they get that rap because they do that shit. That's
they
why.
They never clean. They walk in like smoke's behind them.
I think electricians should be like snipers, eh? Just pick up the cartridges, man. You don't want to leave the cartridges. Pick up all the little copper clips that you cut off, right?
Yeah,
when you're putting the switch in, putting the plug in, putting whatever, right?
Yeah.
Pick them up, man.
Pick them up.
Or have a vacuum. Be modernized, right? I get it. Broom, dustpan, I get it. It's a little harder to sweep up that copper off.
Yeah.
Vacuum then.
That's all it takes. Not that much either. It's not that fucking much.
They don't want to be told.
Nope.
They don't want to be told to
do it. They're wearing their skirts every day.
I know, but the thing is,
I'm sorry, I don't care. But then you, I'm saying it. True, I don't give a fuck.
But then you walk on that, and then now you scratch the tile.
Yeah, great. And guess who's paying for it?
Here's the situation, right? Here's the situation. Who's at fault if you step on an offcut of copper wire and scratch a tile? Who's responsible for that now? Yeah, my opinion? The electrician.
I would agree.
It wasn't the concrete. It wasn't the painter. It wasn't the plumber.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you. It was the electrician that left that there.
Absolutely.
And then now another trade comes in and steps on it, scratches a tile.
Mm-hmm.
Electrician's still at fault.
Absolutely. And it's just more of a pain in the ass, too. It's not that easy. Oh, yeah, you just rip out the tile and that's it. No, you got to break the fucking thing. It's just a four-stage process to rip out one fucking tile.
It's surgery.
It's literally surgery.
Especially if it's heated floor.
Yeah.
And then also the other problem is that what if it's a rare tile? What if you have to order and it's...
And you got to tell the customer, sorry, you're going to have to wait 3 more weeks for that tile to come in.
And it's a different batch. And what if there's a slight different hue in the white?
Mm-hmm.
I still think the electricians have fault in this.
Definitely have fault. Clean up your shit. I think it should just be with anybody.
If there was a construction courtroom, they would be found guilty in that situation.
Imagine they had that.
That would be fucking awesome, man.
That would be fucking
Who's
awesome.
Responsible for this little piece of wire that was left on the job site in a finishing stage?
Yeah.
Guilty.
Get the investigator to find all the pictures of guilty, like guy like this, you fucking piece of shit. That would be fun, guilty, actually, if they ever did that. Construction
what's,
court.
What's the sentence?
What's the sentence?
Yeah, what's the sentence? What does he or she get? What do they get? They got to install tile for like a year or something. Community service to install tile.
Absolutely.
That's what it becomes.
Free fucking labor
for two
weeks.
You become the apprentice. That's what it is.
Go mix some fucking.
Go mix some mud.
That's it. Do something.
They would
put
faking,
this tile up. They would hate it. Do it again.
They would hate it. Like, Manny, what the fuck are you talking about? Shut up, man.
Yeah.
But if you guys picked it up, if you vacuumed, if you surveyed the whole area and found the fucking offcuts, nobody would have stepped on it.
No.
Then we wouldn't be in court right now.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
And there's a lot of things, not only this, that too, like, you know, anything, painting, this, that, whatever, and pick, especially for a customer's house, those very, very picky customers that are very looking at everything, those people, we all love them, but we don't, but, you know, anything, they look at this, and anything can get ruined, splatters here, this, that, whatever, just clean up your shit, man, just be clean, clean up, get out of here, the customer's happy with you, be clean, have a good job site, and you're doing a favor for the next trade to come in that you're cleaned up, and doesn't make his job harder, and we're all a big family, and I think we should be more worried about that. People who give a fuck, people who care, there's not a lot of trades out there that I've worked with personally that care. I care.
You still get clients ask you to not tile the ceilings of a shower?
Sometimes.
I don't understand that.
I prefer it.
Not tiled?
No, tiled.
Tiled.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Water's going to get up there somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't care how good the paint is, it's still going to, and it's the humidity. It's the heat in the air there, right? Mm-hmm. Why not just tile it?
Yeah, I agree.
I try to always tile every wall surface in a bathroom area.
Yeah.
Every wall.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Like right around?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I think it's great. I mean, for anything in the washroom. Yeah, the steam, this, that, whatever. Why not? It's a washroom.
I hate, like, everyone knows that I hate glass block. I hate shaker kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many go-to things that I hate because it's been overdone and I don't hate it. The one thing I really do hate is a backsplash that just stops at an 18-inch just arbitrary line. If you've got cabinetry and all of a sudden you're going right up to the bottom of the cabinetry, but then if the backsplash, the counter goes a little further, now you got to stop.
Yeah.
And they just stop right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean like, for example, like around a window, if there's like
whatever. And they just stop.
And they just stop.
And I'm like, no, man, you got to go all the way up to the ceiling.
All the way. It doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right when you just, okay, it's stopping right here.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look right.
Can I tile your house?
At least I'm telling you, it should stop in a corner. It should stop in a plane that is a transition to another plane.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should stop.
Absolutely.
But then clients will argue with you, well, it's going to cost X much more for this extra tile here.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand
it. Is this not your dream kitchen here? Is this not what you want? Mm-hmm. This is going to stand out if you don't do this, right?
Right. I just don't, especially when it comes to that, because it's like symmetry. It doesn't look right. Put it up there. Okay, fine. You don't want to spend the extra $100. I'll do it for you just to make sure I can get a nice picture for my portfolio. Help. So this is the way it's supposed to look. Right. And, you know, some people really fight it. They don't like it. And what you can't really argue so much with
but
the
is
clients.
It, is
right?
The, but is the argument based on budget, money?
Sometimes, yeah. On such a small budget, man.
I know.
It's just like, okay, like, what do you say at that point? And you know what? I like to help people, you know what I mean, as much as I can and work with people's budgets, this, that, whatever. If it's something small and I say, listen, don't do it that way. Fill it up. Like you said, like if you're going all the way up over the window, just do it. I'm like, it doesn't take much, right? Sure, if it's a $300-$400 difference, you would, at the end of the day, you'd want to collect, right? Your work is your work. But if people really just don't have it in the budget and that's what the problem is, art form like that, such a beautiful kitchen. I'm not going to leave that out. Just fucking take it, right?
What's it like working for designers these days?
I can't. I don't work well with designers, man.
No?
I really
so who's
don't.
Making all the clients are making the selects?
The clients are making what? Sorry?
They're making the selects. So they're choosing all the tile.
They're choosing everything.
Really?
Yep.
And then they just give it to you and then you install.
That's it.
But then all of a sudden they want an accent and it's like half the thickness of your field tile.
Mm-hmm.
then what? You're going to be responsible for building it up?
Pretty much. I just said, you can do that, but this is what it's going to take. Oh, okay. And all. And then, you know, you're given factors or whatever, and then they start fighting with it. And, you know, some people say yes, some people say no. Designers, I'm not saying all designers are bad. No. I've had bad experience with designers because not dissing them, but it's like they think they know everything. Your hands, if your hands are not on the trade, I'm sorry, you don't know as much as the tradesman. I'm sorry, and I'm saying that with pride. You don't know. You can act like you know, you can go to school like you know, but if you haven't physically done it, you know half maybe. It's good to have knowledge.
You could also ask the trade.
Right.
What their thoughts are, because they've done something similar, or maybe they've done the exact same thing that you're asking to be done.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
But they just refuse to ask tradespeople.
They ask, and then they still think, you know, I know we're going to do it this way. And it's like, okay, but you don't understand that this is what's going to cost more. But why? I just explained to you. And then I just get frustrated, and they try, and you can only have patience for so long. And designers, they think this, that, and more the aspect of prepping, for example. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, you want this accent wall, but if you want that kind of tile, you got to get your framer to come back because this wall is a banana. It's like, why do we have to do that? You can just build it out. I'm not building shit out. Why? Your wall's fucked. You can't bend the tile. It has to go straight. If you got 5 inches of it's off or whatever, a foot or whatever, fix it.
That's when I tell them, you realize it's called thin set.
Not right.
Thick set. And like, Mike, it's not going to change. It will never change until I start seeing designers walk in with tradespeople instead of designers always walk in with clients.
Right. Wow.
The moment I see people walk in with clients, they feel like their shit don't stink and that they're more important than the tradespeople who have already been there since 6 a.m. getting started and started working. And then I've never seen a client and or designer roll in at the same early hour as tradespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And they always walk in with the clients. They never walk in with the trades. Never. The majority of them. The stereotype exists. It's there.
It's there.
I'm not saying that all designers are like that. I'm just saying that there's a select few that respect tradespeople and respect the craft and they respect the work that they're delivering. And they walk in with the trades. But I think that's a good telltale sign that if you see a designer walk in with the trades versus walking in with the client, then you got someone that's in your corner. Yep. And they don't want to be in your corner, the majority of them. That's the shit. They want to be in the client's corner.
Of course.
Because they keep on milking that bill, right?
Yep.
They're on a flat rate plus a shopping hourly rate plus a site visit rate. These are three things that you're not getting as a tradesperson.
Absolutely.
Your price is one price for the scope of work that you're doing, period. There's no site visit meeting price for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that shit. None. There's no shopping. You go find different products, or you go in shipping or talking to, you know, PKA events. You're learning product knowledge and shit like that. You're not being charged for that. Like, you're not making money for it.
Absolutely.
Clients are. Yep. I love it when I started hearing about how they're getting paid $500 an hour to go shopping for somebody else on their dime.
Is that what they're fucking paying now?
It's insane. My God. It gets insane.
Holy shit.
Then all they do, and I've seen it, they go to the tile shops and they would just be like shooting the shit for fucking hours, having the coffees, sitting down. Should we order lunch? Let's order lunch. Let's get sushi. Can we get sushi today?
Must be nice.
And then pull out the tile samples and they go, you know, we really should start discussing this tile selection here. I got to come up with a plan today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're fucking useless. I'm sorry to say, but you're fucking useless.
Yeah.
Like, trades don't do that.
No.
They got to get to the distributor. They got to get to the job site. They got to get here, there. They got to figure out the best course of action to get to the job site. They got to figure out best course of action to get material. I ran low. I'm one bag low. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to figure out, do I send my guy? Do I try to get it delivered? Or do I pick it up tomorrow on the way in?
We're thinking times 20 compared to them. They just think that. Once. We think times 20 of how, like, we're going to make it happen.
They're in the tile showroom going, no, I don't want sushi. Can we get like some brisket? I don't know. Whatever they're going to fucking eat, right?
Mm-hmm. Must be nice to have that part of the fucking life, huh?
Is it still going on? I don't know. I'm sure with the economy.
I'm sure there is.
Hurting them a little bit.
Probably. I wouldn't see why not. I mean, the economy's fucking hurting everybody right now, I'd say. It's all fucked.
I like sharing this joke. I was at a tile supplier one time, and majority of the staff there were female, right?
Yeah.
Attractive looking females, right?
And way to make a sale, I guess.
Well, they're good at what they do and they make sales and whatever. But I remember that we're having a conversation about you know, product that the clients are considering. I was tasked with getting some samples and shit. And for whatever reason, my spidey senses were really loud that day. And all I could hear was the footwear. So it was just all these women with all these riding boots. And I just kept on hearing those heels hitting all the hard surfaces in the showroom, right? And so the sales rep, that a good friend of mine, and we were just joking around. She's being professional and everything like that. But I keep hearing this footwear going on, right? And mm-hmm. I interrupted her and I was like, listen, with the amount of riding boots that I'm seeing inside this showroom, I figured the parking lot would be full of fucking horses, man. And she just looked at me and goes, like, where the hell how do you think of this shit?
Yeah.
And it's like, because all I'm hearing are fucking riding boots, man. Exactly. And all I'm seeing is luxury vehicles in the fucking parking lot, and they should all be fucking horses, man. Nobody here rides a horse.
Imagine it was like that back in the day. All the horses outside, what can I get? You walk in.
Well, I don't think the designers were in there.
The cowboy days? Yeah. That would be awesome.
I think they were riding the cowboys.
That's maybe. What oh, yeah, for sure.
It would have been the horses, right?
I learned more about them watching Yellowstone. What was that show, 1883? Did you ever watch
Which
that?
One? The spinoffs?
The spinoffs.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Yellowstone yet. I was told to watch 1883 first, and the other one was 19.
You don't have to.
I was told
1823.
Yeah. See how they used to live back in the day?
I saw all of Yellowstone. I saw one season of 83.
Yeah.
And I saw one season of 23. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm off of streaming now. So
yeah,
I'm going to be left out in the dark. So anybody who's going to talk to me, well, did you watch that lately? Did you watch that lately?
Yeah.
There's been a few people like, did you watch this show on Netflix? I was like, no.
No.
Because it comes and fucking goes. That's how good it is. Versus when you look
we
at
don't movies have time.
For the back, like I could still recite, people have been on the show and you could recite, you know, key phrases from Goodfellas and Godfather and Rocky and fucking Superman, like the original 70s. Yeah. Everyone knows those ones.
Yeah.
Nobody can recite any kind of phrases of shit today, man. When was the last time you heard of like, you can't handle the truth in a modern day movie? You can't, nobody fucking talk shit like that.
Not nowadays.
That's how good the quality of the content that's being created right now.
Yep.
Nobody remembers what the actors said.
Wow, that's a good fucking point, actually. It's true. Nobody remembers
what the fucking act. And then you'll get these young punks, right? Which I try to remind them over and over. I was like, you realize that there was content before you were born, right? Like, people wrote shit way before you were born. They try to tell me that this is good content. They try to tell me that this is a good scene. This is all good and shit. I'm like, you're out the fucking lunch. Don't ever compare that
to what it was. You can't.
Like, right now on social media, you see a lot of memes and clips from Heat.
Yeah.
Heat was 1996. I remember mm-hmm. being in the fucking theater watching that mm-hmm. in 1996. I remember being on the edge of my seat watching the bank robbery scene. I remember that shit. That was 1996, almost fucking 30 fucking years.
Yep. You had a lot of things, like all the good shit you were around probably before.
They stopped making good movies as soon as they crossed 2000.
Yeah.
Very far and few.
I mean, you saw the whole Michael Jordan thing when he was coming up and stuff. You saw the classic stuff.
It was different.
It was better back then. The whole
LeBron James bullshit.
Oh my god!
No, listen. Any fucking picture of a guy in a French maid going back to Diddy. Yeah.
Oh come on! Don't diss Diddy, man.
I'm just saying you would never have caught Kobe in that. You would never have caught Jordan in that.
Nope.
But you caught LeBron.
You caught LeBron in there. He was there. He was fucking there. Guilty.
You gotta
There's
wonder.
So much shit watching about the Diddy stuff. It's crazy. Isn't his trial coming out soon? March?
I have no idea.
Something like that. I think
It's gonna come out when the government needs to distract you from something that's really going on. That's when it's gonna.
You
come
believe
out.
In that's how it works, eh?
Oh,
absolutely.
It's a fucking magic trick, man.
It is. It definitely is.
Tower 7 went down when Tower 1 and 2 were going down. Tower 7 was never touched.
Wow. I'm taking all this shit in. It's crazy.
It's a magic trick.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all it is, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You've been to like, you watch magicians and you kind of pay attention to what they're doing. Like more than half of the shit that they do is not anything to do with the trick. It's about changing the way you see things.
I used to watch what's his name,
Blaine
couple
or Chris Angel,
but he's more of a like Chris Angel.
What the fuck happened to Chris Angel?
He's doing Vegas shows. I saw him in Vegas, but you see all the strings. Sorry, buddy, you're shit.
But what happened? Something happened to him. Was it a Me Too bullshit?
Maybe I'm thinking something else, but I heard that he got into a motorcycle accident or something like that. Something bad happened to him. I don't really know. That's what I heard.
I know he was the biggest thing on A&E for the longest while.
Remember the show?
Yeah, he was doing
Mind
the show.
Freak, whatever. Mind Freak, and then after that, I don't know what happened with there.
Something happened. Maybe he's opening up on Mars. He's probably talking to deal with Elon right now or something.
Probably.
I don't fucking know.
Do you like Elon Musk? You fan of him?
I have nothing to say negatively about him. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've ever said on the show about him is that he's got all the power to be either the villain or the hero.
Right.
Right now, he appears to be the hero.
Mm-hmm.
But he could easily be the villain.
Absolutely.
What do they say about comic book heroes or comic book characters? Either they could either be the villain or the hero. Depends mm-hmm. on the perspective of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bruce Wayne could have been a villain.
Yep.
Right? Because of what he went through.
But they're putting him as the hero.
Yeah, right? So it's like Elon has, he's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He could smart guy.
He's got satellite communications. He's got space communications and travel.
Yeah.
He's got control over vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
He could easily be the villain in a different time, in a different multiverse.
Yeah. And he wants to move people to Mars, right?
I'm interested in Mars.
We can build there.
I'm interested in it.
Right.
I read today that they're talking about building a train on the moon.
A train on the moon?
Yeah, but they haven't built the structure yet. Like, you're going from point A to B, like the house number one, house number two, but we're going to put the communication, like the travel.
Come on, stop fucking with
me. They're going to put a train on the moon.
They're going to put a train on the
moon. Why are they putting a train on the moon? I kind of believe that China's already been on the moon. We just don't know it. And would they tell America that they were on the moon? Magic trick, remember? While all this shit's going on, China's probably had a spaceship and went and fucking up. They probably have a train already on the moon.
Anything's possible. Anything's
they're going to get up there. It's going to be a big Chinese train already on the moon. And all the workers are going to be there going, what the fuck? Then they're going to have to start. It's going to be like the old West. It's going to be like 1883.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to be fighting. You know, we're going to run another train here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Distraction, man. All right, back to Thailand, right? When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's the go-to tile these days? Just large format?
Large format, 12 by 24. I like working with those. I think it looks the most modern. Heavy as fuck.
Suction cups.
Yep.
Who's got Grabbles. The best suction cups nowadays?
Grabble.
Grabble's got Grabble. Them?
Yeah, it's good for landscapers, good for tile guys.
You ever had any one of them fail?
Never.
They're battery or what are they?
Rechargeable batteries.
Rechargeable battery.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good product.
They're Grabble's
good
for no? that.
Hmm?
They're expensive.
Yeah, about $300 a piece, but if you're paying for quality, quality matters. And in anything with tools. If you get the top-notch tools for anything that you do, you're going to give the best job.
What are you cutting with? What are you scoring with?
When I swear, I'm the Monolith cutters. That's
Monolith?
My brand. That's their Sigma Monolith.
Yeah. You're one or the other.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Right. But you got to cut stuff. What are you cutting on? DeWalt?
Like as far as grinder?
No. Both. You tile saw.
Mm-hmm.
What are you tile saw?
DeWalt.
You're doing DeWalt?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I say DeWalt shit, but when it comes to that tile saw, that's a good. I used to always say that the Bosch's tile saw was better, but then DeWalt redesigned theirs,
mm-hmm.
and I'll admit DeWalt's is better.
Yeah. I've seen now, it. Now I have the newer one, right? So that's the thing. I don't have the.
Yeah, it's
one,
beautiful. So the range on it, man,
works for me.
The range, you can take a 2x4 tile and cut it, no problem.
No problem on that saw.
They good designed it saw. For purpose.
Yep.
right? I heard it was good. You're scoring it with Monolith. Yeah, that makes sense.
Monolith.
And Grinder, you got to be Makita.
I got to be Makita.
Variable.
Wrong. I'm actually Milwaukee.
You're Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
Grinder?
Yep. Milwaukee Grinder.
Dude, you got to be the only one.
That makes me one of a kind.
Everybody's either DeWalt or Makita.
Yep. No.
Especially if you're Eastern European. You're Eastern European, which is a lot of slab guys. They're all fucking Makita.
Yeah, Makita. That's what they want.
Well, they were the first variable grinder.
The Makitas?
Makitas.
Yeah, that's true.
They were, right? But then everybody copies, and then you go loyal to the color that you are. That's just how it works. I always say, whatever works for you, man.
That's pretty much what it is.
That's just
it worked for me. It doesn't. I'm not. There's a lot of people that cure. I will never go Ryobi. I'll tell you that much. But I don't think everybody knows
Ryobi's
that.
Ryobi's got a towel song.
Ryobi's
got a towel song.
No,
they got grinders.
They got grinders and a couple of things, but anything to do with tools, I would never go near Ryobi. Never.
Are they still powered by Duracells or Energizers?
They have to be. They have to be. It's definitely got to be one of those for sure. Even just looking at it makes me sick.
Is it double? It's got to be double D's, isn't it?
Right?
It's got to be D size, right? Or C size.
Just looking at it makes me sick.
No, it's a green. Little, what's the little square one? The bottom one with the two turning things on it?
What's that
battery? What is that battery called? I don't even know what to call that battery. I don't fucking know. But everyone makes fun of Ryobi, man.
It's a shit brand. I've heard problems with it.
It's a DIY brand. That's why.
Never used it.
Never owned it.
Never owned it. Never used it. I can't say anything about it, but I know it's known to be shit. That's it.
I had a collection of Rigid, and I only bought it for the lifetime warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got banned because I kept on using the lifetime warranty because shit was failing every time. I literally had to buy twos of things.
Right.
Because when I put in the service, that breakdown, I still needed something to use. So then I would buy a second one. And then when that broke down, I put it back into service. And then I kept on going to the point where I got banned. I go, what's with this lifetime warranty then? You can't ban me. He goes, you know, we can ban you. And that's when I switched everything to Bosch. And I was like, well, fuck you guys. I'm going Bosch now. And I didn't have to use the service. Because it worked for me, right?
They lost a loyal customer. What the fuck?
Yeah, but do they still make Rigid? They don't make Rigid tools, do they still?
Yeah, they make.
Plumbing tools, yeah, but not power tools.
I got a Rigid drill. Drill's not bad.
Orange?
I mean, they have water cutters Rigid as well. Now you have a small little one for, you know, glass cutting and stuff like that. It's not bad. It all depends, right?
What are you using for trowels?
Trowels?
Anybody's?
Anybody, pretty much. There's no specific brand for trowel that I really use.
Ruby, Monolith has got trowels as well, too. You get a lot of European guys coming in with those funky little notches that are the S-shaped notches or whatever it is.
Those are guys that are like really, really picky. But to me personally, I think it's all the same shit. You got your half inch, your quarter inch, it looks fat. It's all the same
shit. What's the objective here? You need to get how much percentage coverage?
That's it.
So if that trowel that is cheapy, whatever, gives you that certain percentage of coverage,
then it
works.
It works.
For you to tell me that your trowel that's fancy and costs 10 times more does a better job, if we're getting both the same coverage, then you're incorrect. I'm sorry to say.
Absolutely.
And at that point is that as a towelist, you should know exactly, because you always do a test. Mm. Do a first one, do a test and lift it up and go, yeah, this will work. Half by half, 3/4 radius, quarter by whatever it is. Then you get in your coverage, then that's it. Shut the fuck up.
Simple exactly. As that. It's all the same shit. There's so many people that are particular on this, that, whatever. I was never really one of the... If it works, it works.
If it works, it works.
It doesn't matter. This, that, whatever. High tech, this, that, whatever. It does the same shit. So if you want to spend 10 grand more, go the fuck ahead, man. I'm doing the same job.
If it's going to make you more money, sure, go ahead. It's fine.
If it makes you more money, sure, right? But I don't think a brand, if it has the same effect, like for trowels, for example, something as simple as that.
I don't think so. Mixer-wise, what are you?
Gotta Makita.
Be Makita,
of course. On the mixer, you got to be Makita.
I'll admit that. Bosch's mixer sucks.
I fucking hate
it. And I think DeWalt's mixer sucks, too.
Garbage.
Makita's mixer is nice.
Best one.
Corded, too.
Yep. I don't do battery. I don't like battery tools, to be honest with you.
At all?
No. That depends. Some.
You're okay, too young, man. You're too long to not like...
Like mixers and heavy duty, you know what I mean?
That's all corded. Constant.
Yeah. But a lot of people, you can get this big ass mixer or whatever, this big ass battery. You think I have time to fucking look for all these fucking 400 pound batteries all day? Plug the fucking shit in and call it a day.
Nope.
Right?
What's the go-to mix that you're using? What brand do you prefer to use?
Mappe.
Yeah?
Mappe everything.
Which one?
The LFT.
The LFT?
Thin set, yep.
I've had a long relationship with Mappe, but
What happened? You got banned with that?
No, I didn't get banned. I didn't get banned. I wanted to work with them on a bunch of shit. I wanted to do some stuff with them. Mm-hmm. I even presented a school idea to them.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was in my early days of construction. I got invited to their training, right? So here I am, my first or second year of construction. I've already done. Remember, I'm not coming from scratch code. I dismissed that right off the bat. I was coming from Schluter, and I was challenging myself. I was doing glass tile already. I was doing larger format. I was doing all kinds of shit, right? Then they invite me to go to their fucking training thing, right? Mm-hmm. And we sit down. It's a full fucking day, right? The only thing that was good about that training day is that they had food for lunch. That's all it was, right?
Yeah.
And then I started realizing all these training things have food. And I'm like, okay, this is great. I can time my week, figure out my groceries that I don't need, and I got food still, right? Mm-hmm. But I get in there, and they start fucking teaching you 12 by 12 ceramic tile install. And I'm like, what the fuck is this, guys?
Yeah.
I got no clients asking for this shit.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this shit. I demo this shit. Why are we being taught? Can we start talking about glass and shower and steam rooms and larger format and all this other shit? And they're like, no, 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 we don't do those kinds of training. I go, then you're not training. And then I started proposing these ideas.
This was at Mappe?
This is Mappe like 15 years ago.
A long time ago.
Okay, I started saying, listen, you need to start setting up training for serious fucking tile installers.
Right.
Not fucking junior guys who are just getting ready or guys from TV. Mm-hmm. We're talking about legitimate tile installers.
Right.
I want challenges. I want to start talking about, like, they were developing different LFTs. They were developing non-slip. They were telling great for vertical surfaces, all this shit. I was going, let's start talking about this. That's where I started learning about epoxy grouts. Mm-hmm. I was being told, listen, always use an epoxy grout for your thin set install of glass tire in a shower application with a Schluter Curdy shower floor.
Right.
But don't ever mention that in public, Manny.
Right.
Paper face glass. Because I used what they said I was supposed to use, which was Carabond.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good too, yeah.
Yeah, and it fucking failed.
It failed.
Glass mosaic 5/8.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
On Schluter.
Yeah, on Schluter.
They all... When we were cleaning out the grout lines, just to clean, get prep for grout, they were all popping off.
Wow.
All popping off.
No bondage at all, eh?
And then I was pulled aside, and I was told, Manny, use Rapid Set Epoxy Thin Set Grout. Mm-hmm. Use the grout. I was like, why didn't you guys just say that from the beginning? Because we can't publicly say that.
So you might want to publicly fucking say that.
I did, and it fucking was bulletproof. It was fucking amazing, and I always did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that it pissed off Schluter's warranty, because you're not supposed to use anything modified over that shit. Those days, and I go back to like that shit where they had that marriage with New Heat, and then they said, fuck you, we're going to have our own cable now.
Mm-hmm.
They were all about non-modified thin sets. That's why Carabond was being used, right?
Right.
But Carabond was a shit fucking product. It didn't make anything stick,
nothing,
man. Semen was stickier than that shit. That's the problem with Carabond. It didn't fucking work properly in the applications that I was putting together.
Wow.
So the moment I was told by a higher up, use this stuff, period. You'll never have it fail.
Mm-hmm.
Their concern was that you couldn't educate the market to use this, because if guys didn't know how to use it, they would get into trouble.
Right.
And then they would be a clusterfuck. And then it would be like, you got to rip this all apart. Didn't happen for me, man. It worked perfectly for me.
So I guess it's just a certain way how to do it, timing or something like that, whatever.
You got to work a different way when you're using epoxies or highly modified material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to work a different way, man.
Absolutely. Even doing the epoxy in the...
The grout or the
miters.
Oh, yeah.
That's all a timing game and it's that whatever. Yeah. You fuck it once and it's a disaster.
I'm impressed by the miters. A lot of the young guys doing the miters, I'm impressed with how they set it all up, score it, back grind it, get it all ready, tape it, epoxy it, set it, put it in place. It's like perfect custom.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by that shit.
It's nice.
I'm not impressed that the majority of the trades don't charge the right price. They're being taken advantage of the clients.
Absolutely.
That's what I get pissed off. Because I know what
it costs. As far as them charging for miters, you're saying?
For charging on-site fabrication.
Right.
Because I know what fabrication for slabs or even porcelain in an actual fabrication shop, I know what that costs. And they weren't charging the same price. They weren't in line. They were doing the same work, delivering the same quality,
on site,
mm-hmm.
and the client refused to pay what they would have been paid charging
to go to the
if they went to a fabricator to do it.
Wow.
And clients that had money and budgets, they would do that. They would go to the fabricator. This is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would do it, and they would give them a huge bill that had five digits attached mm-hmm. to it. And then they would pay for it.
So we deserve more for that work.
100%.
I agree.
100% you guys do.
I agree. But the minute you start upcharging, oh, what's going on here? Why?
They'll find somebody that will do it cheaper.
Absolutely.
And then they'll start saying, yep, we do miters. Don't worry. Speaking of which, I don't even know why the fuck tiles edges are still around.
Tile edging?
Yeah. I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of it. I've ever since the miters came out. I like mitered everything. That looks just fantastic. You know what I mean? But
I've done bowl nose on softer stones.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to use a tile edge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like tile edge. Tile edge doesn't always work for every single tile.
No.
The majority of tile,
mm-hmm.
tile edge don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to naturally make that tile work. When it has to terminate, where it has to turn, where it has to move to, where it, you know, like you have to make it naturally work.
Right.
Tile edge is the most unnatural
thing that you need.
It doesn't work. But then every time you go into a shoddy job or whatever, the client just wanted to cut corners or the designer wanted to cut corners, tile edge,
yeah.
tile edge. And if you really want to go shoddy, plastic tile edge.
Oh my God.
You know that, right?
Yeah. Plastic tile edge, metal one. Metal one's the best one. I guess, like you said, it all depends. I believe that every niche, like certain detail things should be mitered, like niches and this, that, whatever, even curb edges. If you're doing a curb and you tile the curb, miter everything, that looks nice as well. For edging, as far as like the sides that come out, whatever you're going to, glass is going to go up beside it, you have to put a tile edge. That's natural, right? But putting a lot of people put it for niches and stuff. I don't like that.
Look, I don't like it in a niche either.
I think it looks like shit. The stone should continue.
It should flow right into the niche.
Agreed.
Build the future you dream of with Generation Construction. Your home is where life happens, where your style shines, and where your future begins. Whether it's your first home, a space for growing family, or a place all your own, you need a builder who understands your vision and brings it to life. At Generation Construction, they ensure your home is everything you've imagined. Greg, the visionary behind Generation Construction, knows that today's homeowners, they want more than just walls. They want a space that reflects who they are. At Generation Construction, they don't just build houses, they craft homes that are uniquely yours. With a reputation for excellence, trust, and a commitment to working with the best, Generation Construction offers a seamless, stress-free experience that ensures your home stands strong for years to come. Contact Generation Construction today at 705-961-5562 in the Muskoka area and 647-381-0361 in the Greater Toronto area, or visit them at www.generationconstructionltd.com. For inquiries, email Greg at greg@generationconstructionltd.com. Let's build your dream project together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I agree, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. One of the last bathrooms that I did, we encased the shower glass, into the fucking tile. So now you install it on the curdy.
Okay.
And then you tile right to it.
To the glass. Wow.
So I've no never channel. Done
that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was nerve-wracking, right? Mm-hmm. So we did it that way, like even floor and ceiling.
So the glass was on the floor, you tile right up to it on each side?
Yeah, it was installed at the rough stage of the waterproofing prep.
Okay.
And then it was finished with the tile right to the glass. That glass is not going anywhere.
Nowhere.
And the nice thing about it is that when you grout everything,
mm-hmm.
it's just so fucking clean.
It's smooth.
You don't see a metal U-channel on the top or bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just integrated right into, it was just a panel. It was a large panel.
Yeah, yeah.
But during the whole process, we're paranoid, like protecting that glass. Nobody can touch it. Mm-hmm. The moment you break it, that's it. You're fucked.
Yeah, that's a nice, I've never worked with anything like that, but that's a nice concept. I love that detail. Yeah.
I love it. I know that some of them offer like channels that you can put it in,
mm-hmm.
but I still don't like it. I don't want to see that metal.
No.
I want us to see glass to stone. And then mm-hmm. you're like looking at this going,
How the fuck did you guys? Yeah, that's exactly how we did it. We installed it at the rough stage, and then we finished around it.
Yeah,
it was a nightmare because of stress that we might break it,
but we made it happen.
Made it happen. And didn't scratch it. Didn't do nothing. Everybody was aware of it. Tile guy was the only one that was allowed inside there with his assistants, whatever. But you covered up, you protect it, but you have to leave some space around it because you got to get right to the edge of it, right?
Right.
And then also you got to factor in that your cuts have to be perfect and your spacing between the tile and the glass has to be consistent because you got to fill that void in. Because guess what? When you're looking at the glass into it, you're seeing the side of the tile.
Right.
So now you got to finish the side of the tile properly.
Properly. So you don't see that if you're really looking
it ain't deep. Like that's the training that Mepe should have had. That's the shit that
particular.
I would have been challenging them and pushing them and all this other shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, guys, at some point, you're going to need to start paying me for ideas. Otherwise, I'm fucking off. And that's exactly what I did. I fucked off. And simple as that.
Those bastards, they didn't just didn't want to pay, did they?
No, all I got was I'm like, guys, listen, I look at financial reports. I know exactly how big your company is, right? So then they were like, yeah, but Manny, that's global. And Canada is a small market of that global empire. And I'm like, yeah, but it's still a market. And you guys still have funds. He goes, yeah, but they don't care about Canada. I was like, yeah, I get it. I understand that. They don't. 41 million? They don't care.
When you're large like that, who really does, right?
It's a drop in the bucket compared to other places. Like Mepe in Europe is huge, right? Huge in Europe, right? Because they're not just thin set. Yeah. They're just not mortars. They're like cements and shit.
Yeah. Like, did you ever, sorry, off topic, but did you ever see heated flooring? I was just thinking, but like, didn't they used to do piping?
Radiant.
Yes. Yeah,
hydronics, yes.
Is that from something from back then? They did. I saw it. I've seen it recently somewhere, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? But they still do that, and they dry pack it or whatever? They still do that?
We just did that on the barn build that we're doing.
Okay, so I guess it depends where. Like, I saw someone do it just in their basement washroom floor. I'm like, just put the membrane down. I don't know why they do, but
you can do that. It's just a different way. Because it's more energy efficient.
Right.
But now you have to set up the system for that.
Right.
Versus the electrical heat. It's a drier heat. There's a difference. It's a drier heat. It's a little less efficient. You're using more energy, but you're also keeping things thinner. When you go the radiant hydronics, you got to lower.
Right.
So then you can't just add it into a tile application in a particular room, whether it's a bathroom or if it's laundry or whatever it is. It's going to be higher than the finished vinyl or hardwood flooring. It's going to be higher.
Right.
The electric, it won't be higher. It'll be consistent.
That's what I was saying. It raised the floor like this much. I know. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, that's different.
So you have
like,
to plan for it, right?
Yeah.
I used to do that too when I was like doing projects where I already knew the shower in the master had to be lower 2 inches because I knew it was going to get all dry packed and we wanted to stay consistent from the shower height to the finish height.
Right.
So you have to plan for it.
Yeah. It's kind of cool how they do the curbless now too, right?
You know what? I got rid of curb real fast, man.
Yeah.
Curb made no sense to me, man.
I guess so. I prefer curbless. I think
you do. Nicest.
Yeah,
but you're not building a tub. You're building a shower.
Shower.
There's That's not right. supposed to be any pooling going on in that shower drain, even with hair getting stuck in there like that. No.
Fair.
That's why. So it's like, what's the curb here, right? I understand. And then they would use either the white or the cream or the gray marble threshold. Yeah, but my tile's blue. Well, it looks good with the white.
What the fuck am I going to do with this? Get a blue one?
You can use any one of them. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it never really made any sense to me, right? Mm-mm. So I would get frustrated by that shit.
Yeah, curbless is really nice. Why they do it? I don't know. I guess just some people like their curb possibly, but I prefer curbless.
They're concerned that it might back up and then all of a sudden you're going to get a flood. And I'm like, well, it's called a house. You got to fucking maintain it, right?
Right, exactly.
So if you got like plenty of daughters and they're always showering, yeah, hair is going to build up in the drain. But Schluter's drain has got a little net. It's got a catch basin net there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to clog up a little bit. So if you're showering, you got a puddle going on there, then yeah, there's something clogging that drain. And Absolutely. Most likely it's hair, right?
Right.
So lift up the drain,
clean
take
it out,
the net, take out the hair, throw it down the fucking toilet. That's it. Done.
Not that thinking, oh my God, we're going to get a storm over here and something's going to happen. I think people overthink the situation a little bit too hard sometimes. You know what I mean? For anything, right? But
what's your favorite part about tiling?
The art start form.
Or the finish?
The finishing product. You know what I mean? During the process too, but the finishing product. To see what you've created for, you know, It's an art form of work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's nice. You know what I mean? Any finishings or whatever, anybody, if what they do, right? But the feeling of knowing that you did that, you know what I mean? It makes me feel good about it. I love what I do. Yeah.
You work by yourself?
I have a couple of laborers with me, but it's just me. I'm the main hands of my trade.
Do they ever show the initiative to do more than just laboring?
They want to. Yeah. They want to try, but they don't have the patience for it. Like, it's not a trade that you can just learn over the course of a year. No. It takes years.
You can't run with it. No.
You can't master tiling as quick as other trades. I think certain trades have different time to learn certain things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't learn HVAC tomorrow. There's a long process to that. You know what I mean?
There's some guys that think that.
Some guys think that, I guess.
Buy a van and a bunch of pack outs and a bunch of Milwaukee tools and they're an HVAC guy.
That's it. You know what I mean? Ryobi, man.
No, I've never met an HVAC guy with Ryobi.
No,
they're
me
all
either.
Fucking Milwaukee, man.
All Milwaukee guys.
Packouts and Pro Presses and all kinds of shit.
Absolutely.
And then they come over and borrow your Bosch or your DeWalt miter saw because they don't have a fucking miter saw that's worth anything.
That's right. I know.
Sorry, they don't.
Great trade to know, though. Shout out to the HVAC guys.
Oh, 100%, right?
Yeah.
The one trade that does all the trades.
Yep.
Electrician, plumbing, ventilation, refrigeration,
everything. Those guys,
but they also need to know a lot of shit too.
Yeah, I know a lot of schooling in that stuff, and you know, as far as doing that is what I was saying, right? Like, tiling, you don't need to go to school for. You learn. Takes
there
time.
Should be, Mike, though. There should be a school for tiling here in Canada.
Yeah. As far as like, you know, like being like, you know, like HVAC guys and electricians, they have to get really in technical.
I know, but
in
there
it.
Should be a Top Gun school for tiling.
I agree.
They should do it.
You should.
I think all the brands should support each other, cover the expense for it. I think Young Tile, you know, trades would sign up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you do the bare basic bullshit. You do the extreme difficult thing. Mm-hmm. And if you fail, you failed for a reason.
Right.
Like, you're going in there to fucking be part of the top 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think it should be. I'm like, I don't care about hurt feelings. Listen, if you're not good, you're not good. Simple as that.
Facts.
It means that you've got room to become good.
Mm-hmm.
So go back and fucking get some more training, figure it out, come back and try again.
Absolutely.
And then try again. Simple as that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Listen,
that's,
man, true. Jordan got cut from the high school team.
What do you do? Do better. Come back. Try again.
And then he became the best fucking ball player ever, right?
Yeah.
So tiling should be the exact same thing too. But I think that these brands are missing an opportunity to really connect with a young generation and show them that this is a viable trade, that you could actually build a solid career here for a long time. Build a brand, build a business that you can hand off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But they ain't fucking doing it.
No.
They're all staying in their own little corner. They're saying that my thin set will fucking dry 2 minutes earlier than his thin set. My heat is a lot warmer and more efficient than his thin set. I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots, man. Yeah. You guys should all be working together to make the industry better.
Right.
Not individual, man. Mm-hmm. No. What happened as soon as Schluter started owning the market about Dietra Heat? Everybody came out of the woodwork and started creating their own fucking product.
Yep. All competition just for the buck, right?
And then they started saying, well, if you mix and match and you can avoid this warranty and avoid that shit and all. I'm like, this is the wrong way to approach this, man.
Right.
Wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're dividing everybody now. And, you know, and then they had their shortage. Schluter had their shortage with Curdy Board during the pandemic years regarding the fucking shortage of the adhesive there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave an opportunity for Weedy to step up. I'm not a fan of Weedy. I just don't like it. I don't like it.
I never liked it either, to be honest.
Yeah, you. And then what is it now? There's all kinds. There's Hydro Board and how.
All different kinds of shit, man. Even the Schluter board. And like, there's so many different things, you know what I mean? That do the exact same thing, but it's all competition, I guess, right?
But then again, out west, you get the Mud Dogs, and they live and breathe and die by fucking dry pack and walls and shit, everything. Yeah. They don't live by the foam.
The dry packing the wall. Do you ever see those guys with the mesh and they're
filling?
Is that what you're talking about?
The Mud Dogs, yeah.
Wow.
That's old school way of doing it.
That has to be old school. I see like
that
reels on all the time.
That will never crack. I agree with it. I totally agree with it.
Yeah.
But again, you got to prep all that shit.
Fuck.
And you got to, like, that's not for a first timer.
Right.
See, that's what I mean is that you would train that in a tile school. You're like, we're bringing in a special fucking guy who knows how to do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Here, sign up, learn how to do this shit.
Right.
Then you can offer it to your clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone prides themselves on dry packing and how to do it properly and all this other shit, right?
Right.
I still laugh that I've done some dry pack where it was like, it was still fucking wet. I could have wrote my name in it because I was too fucking lazy to pack it, man. I was too lazy. I was like, don't worry. It won't slope down. It won't start to crawl down. I get it. I understand that. And then when it dried rock hard, I was like, look, perfect. It was a little bit of a bubble from the slide.
Yeah, yeah.
I just grinded it. That's all it was, right? Oh, my God. I was too tired, man. You know how fucking hard it is, man? You know how hard it is. Like, yep. To dry pack and shit.
I hate dry packing. I do it, but that's why I got a guy to do it, right?
You bring in a guy to do it?
I bring in a guy that does a dry pack guy.
He does that full-time all
full
the time?
Full-time. That's all he does. Hard trade. Can't do that. That and tiling all the time? Fuck that. Dry pack guy. Yep.
I don't know if I could do that full-time.
Some people have it, man.
It's like
some
you're
people,
mixing it, it's dry, put it into a ball, break it,
yeah,
and then you put it in. And
my guy actually works in the unit, so he's working full time as is. And then mine is just the custom houses, and he'll take the stuff from there, whatever, bring it over, and he's just doing it all day. I'm like, dude, I don't know how the fuck you do it. And he's doing thousands of square feet a day, and I'm like, you're crazy.
He's just a machine. Meet Felipe, the visionary behind Versa Homes, a name synonymous with excellence in construction across British Columbia. Felipe's passion for high-end craftsmanship, sparked by his mentor Dan Zecklin, drives him to deliver exceptional results in every project. At Versa Homes, every detail matters, and Felipe's unwavering commitment to precision ensures that each project meets the highest standards. Client satisfaction is more than just a goal, it's at the heart of everything Felipe does. He's dedicated to making the construction process smooth and stress-free, keeping projects on time, within budget, and meticulously organized. If you're looking for a builder in British Columbia who values quality and client care as much as you do, look no further. Discover what sets Versa Homes apart. Reach them at www.versahomes.com or call them today at 778-65-BUILD, B-U-I-L-D, or connect with them on social media under @VersaHomes. Versa Homes, where your vision meets their commitment to excellence. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. There isn't one trade that I would do full-time, year-round, that one task.
Not one, eh?
Not one.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would go ballistic. If I was tiling all year long, like 1 year, all year long tiling.
You get sick of it, eh?
All year long dry packing, all year long running cable, all year long soldering pipe, crimping pipe. All year long doing roofing, concrete.
I guess GC doing it all is more you're mixing supervising. Everything, right?
You're just supervising the process. You get to see the whole ship being built from the beginning. The unfortunate thing is that you get fucked at the end by the client by not getting paid, right?
That's the problem. I know, you got to, well, that's just how you build yourself. At the end of the day, we all go through some one or two there, right? But
If you're lucky,
I know.
You might go through more, but if you're lucky...
Yeah.
Would you ever leave this trade and do a different trade?
Possibly.
Like, you're ever on site and all of a sudden some other trade comes along, they're doing something, you're like, what am I doing that? Maybe I'll do that.
Probably electrical.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like electrical. So I would clean after my fucking shit. But you'd be
in fucking construction court because you're going to cut a little piece of copper and leave it down there, man.
No, I wouldn't be that guy. Too bad. I would probably clean my stuff. You'd have a
Milwaukee vacuum and just pick it up?
That's it. Battery.
It'd be battery. I got a Bosch battery.
Yeah,
it works in a pinch. It's a lot lighter than carrying a whole vacuum coming in.
That's it. That's true. Nice little vacuum, whatever. One piece by piece. That's all it takes. Listen, but that's too much for the electricians.
In today's technology and all the tools that are being offered, there's no excuses. There's no excuses to clean up after yourself.
None.
Prepare yourself. Organize everything at the end of the day before the next day.
Right.
So when you walk in the next day, you're all ready to rock and roll. Yeah. All you got to do is start pouring the mud, add a little bit of water, and start fucking mixing it up and start getting going.
Absolutely.
Instead it takes of so much time. Organize. I never understood those tile guys that would beat the fucking buckets.
Oh my God.
Right at the start of the day.
Yep. Why? Just clean the fucking shit in the very beginning. You start fresh, get there early, and you can go. Absolutely. It takes time for
prep. What's that stupid product, that condom inside the bucket?
I seen that.
It's what like, is that? What's it called again?
I can't remember, but it goes in the bucket, whatever.
So it's rubber or silicone.
Yeah, you take it out, pop it out, whatever. Yeah. That's kind of a cool idea, right? But I don't know the name of it, but I've seen it, never used it yet, but I'm very clean with my bucket, my tools.
Just clean the fuck. You got to clean the tools anyway.
Clean it all.
You got to wash the tools anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a sponge, you got water.
Yeah.
Scrape out the excess thinset that's in there, throw it in the trash, and then clean your bucket.
It's a pain in the ass. I mean, you're dealing with fucking concrete. Like, clean the fucking shit. You want to bang and lift heavy bags in the morning, this, that, whatever. An hour and a half's gone already.
Prep. Get it all ready for the next day.
That's it. And start early. 6:30, you could leave by 1:30, 2 o'clock if you really want to. Get the fuck out of there.
How's this younger generation? They don't start at 6:30. Do they start at
6:30? They don't work.
They're like, they got to get their coffee still.
Yeah.
Are they doing
it? They're late. They're, you know.
What? Dropping the kids off?
Right.
Really?
I don't know. Sick.
Are they doing yoga? They're doing yoga? Probably yoga, yeah. Wellness retreat?
The swing yoga.
What's that?
Takes time. You ever seen the swing yoga? You ever see any of that shit? I don't know. These girls, they're fucking... They're hanging off some shit and doing this, like, stretching.
That's called a strip joint.
I don't know. That's a different kind of thing.
So they're doing stretching with bungee cords
with or something? With bungee cords and shit. It's some type of yoga. I don't know.
Like, really? Yeah, legitimately?
Legitimately. Aside to stripping, there is a class for that.
How is that considered yoga?
It's called some type of yoga. I don't know the exact name of it, but it's called a yoga. Stretching, this, that, whatever, on this, like, swing thing with whatever. Like, it kind of looks like a hammock in a way. Telling you, I've seen it before. Heard about it.
Yeah, I've seen it in strip joints before. Yeah, like, it's just like,
but you don't see the swing kind of thing. You know what I mean?
It's just feature girl. That's what, like, you see it, and she brings it in, sets it all up, right?
Yeah, you know.
Back in the
day. Old dancing.
Back in the old early 90s, I'm sure, like that, man. What else, Mike? What else you want to share before I get to the 12 questions here, man?
Do your research, if I can say something to anybody. If I can speak to any homeowners.
Do your research on what? On who you hire?
On who you're hiring. Do your research on pricings. You don't have to go with the most expensive guy, with the most cheapest guy. Nope. You just do your ranging and pick the right. I would always stay in the middle of your prices if you're on a budget, if you decide not to go high quality for your best buck. That's one thing I could say.
Who do you like supplier-wise these days?
Supplier-wise? Rivalda.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Rivalda's a good tile supply, tile shop. The Tile Master in Aurora is a good supply as well. Those are usually my three top suppliers I go to.
How do you pronounce the last name again?
Pecchia.
Pecchia.
Mm-hmm.
Italian.
Italian.
Yeah. IGMP Tiles, MSP. Why'd you go MSPTiles@gmail.com? Why'd you have that in S?
My full name, my middle name.
But why not
change it up on Instagram?
On IG, you can change it on IG.
I think another
someone else owns MSP.
Sorry?
Someone else owns MSP.
Someone else owns MSP, so I had to change it to MP on Instagram. So email wise, changed it to that. I gotta change that one too.
289-380-2160. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
A person you would trade places for a day. Trade places with for a day.
Dan Bilzerian.
Who?
Dan Bilzerian.
Depends on what day, yeah?
I guess. I mean, that's got to be a great answer.
Guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Next.
No guilty pleasure?
No guilty pleasure, man.
Nothing?
What's yours?
I like disconnecting.
Fair. Yeah.
Right. It's easier for a person like me because I know that other guys that have wives and family, if they disconnect, then everybody else around them starts panicking. If I disconnect, nobody really knows that I've disconnected. Right.
Right.
So I like disconnecting. Mm-hmm. I really like silence, disconnecting from everything. Right.
Okay. Well, I guess I could.
I don't know. That's just like you put me on the spot because
I didn't have an answer for that one.
I've never answered these questions myself. Right,
sorry.
No. That's fine. If you don't have an answer for this, I'm not forcing you. Perfect. Least favorite tool.
Least favorite tool. Water saw.
Why?
Too much. The water splashing everywhere. It's just a pain in the ass.
But the new DeWalt catches everything pretty nicely.
Pretty nicely, but still. Too much mess. Clearing, taking it out, putting it all together. It's just a pain in the ass using it.
Should be like a transformer, man. It just hits a button and it pops out like a Jetsons or something. Biggest risk you ever took?
Starting my own company.
Best compliment you ever got?
I love that you care.
What is your favorite beverage?
Gin and tonic.
Bombay?
Bombay.
Bombay?
Yep.
I always wanted to try to make those into cups, eh? You know, you see those memes, those little social media. They score them and then make them into cups. Because of the blue glass.
They score them. The beer bottle?
No, the actual Bombay
bottle. And they make the cups out of them? That's kind of cool. I saw those too. I
wanted to try one of that and see if it would work, right? They make it look easy on the fucking line.
Of course.
But I don't know if it is. What never fails to make you laugh?
Eddie Murphy.
You ever see his old school shit, man?
Oh yeah, oh, man. Raw, yeah. Delirious, yeah, all of this. King of comedy to this day, hands down.
Man. Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Just give up.
Really? Someone actually said that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Someone if told you that? Someone, a friend or a close family member? You don't need to tell me. No, I'm just curious.
It was a friend of mine. He said, listen, if it's just something give up? That... he's like, just give up. Try something new. If it's not going your way, just give up. Just give up. At the end of the day, I'm not going to just... Yeah, literally. Just give up. Forget it. Just go to something else.
I once had a friend say to me, I would have put a bullet in my head if I was going through the shit that you're going through. He actually said that to me.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not that person, right?
Right.
I'd never, that's not even an option on the tables at all, ever.
Right.
But he actually said that, right? And he's a conservative individual.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely conservative shit. I've always been a risk taker.
Right.
So he was just like, he knew I was going through a lot of shit. He's like, he actually said that. Put a bullet to your head and fucking.
Well, way to say you'll give up.
That's a different way of just saying give up, right?
Yep.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Other than porn star? HVAC.
It's not like the good old days of Ron Jeremy and whatever, right? Mike Holmes and shit like that, right? HVAC? You went to
the 70s?
70s, 80s.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
The Bush administration.
The Bush administration. That was the thing back in the day. Hey, the Bush was mint back then. Now it's shaved. What the fuck is that?
Then the Bush just got like thinner and thinner and reduced and shaved. And all of a sudden, 90s, you got the landing strip and all this other shit. Yes, I'm talking about pubic fucking hair. Okay.
That's it.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What is your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Mercedes. Like a specific?
Any particular model?
Car. E400. That's what I drive. It's my favorite.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You did well.
Mike, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. I had a blast. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That's all we do, man. It's just like keep on going, sharing knowledge. And hopefully the young guys are listening to what's going on. I still think them at Pay or somebody or all the fucking brands should start a school.
Mm-hmm.
Should start here in Canada.
Yeah.
I know there's some schools and training in the U.S. There's definitely training in Europe.
For tiling?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dude, they don't have it here.
Well,
that's why I'm oblivious because I've never heard of a school. Construction
teaching and training in Europe is like fucking Star Trek, Star Wars, leap and bounds further than North America. Even though North America thinks that they're the epicenter, fuck that shit. What's going on over there, the way they train you on woodworking, on tiling, on stone, all kind of artisan, lime plaster, all that shit.
That's crazy there. How we don't know, well, me personally, that's why I'm oblivious. I didn't know that they trained more, and you would think in Europe too, but yeah, why don't they even for you caught me off guard too. I'm like thinking, is there really any school for fucking tiling? Not really. I think
in
it's just
the
US
I've been told there's some schools, some locations that are brand driven and shit,
right?
Other than that, everyone stays to themselves, and I'm like, that's the mistake there. Europe's not like that. They want to embrace people to come in and do old world techniques and learn how to do certain details, right?
Right.
If you ain't training somebody young to do it, like, I'm pretty sure you've seen some that Mason guy who carves out all the old stone.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Charlie, whatever his name is, right? That guy's fucking carving by hand.
He's young, right? And he does like what that he did that church in Barcelona. Yeah, that was crazy.
He did the lion's head and shit.
Wow.
And you're watching it, and I'm like, this kid's in his 20s, man.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need more of that shit going on here.
What a skill, eh? I would love to do some shit.
Yeah, but someone taught him that.
Right.
And then he excelled from it.
Right.
We don't have that going on here.
Nope.
I don't care what America says, how we're the leader. I go, fuck you guys. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Europe is.
Right.
Europe is totally way ahead, man.
They have to be. I mean, seeing some shit like that, too, was crazy. It's funny you say that. I was just watching one of his videos the other day. Fantastic. Artwork like that. Fantastic.
Been trying to get him on the show, but he's a busy guy, so.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike. That's it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.